This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Migration is part of the modern world and it's not going away despite a COVID slowdown, a UN official has told us just ahead of a new UN migration report launched on Friday. Jorge Bravo, the head of the Population Policies and Development Branch at the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs, or DESA, explained to me that it's never been easier or faster to move around the world, which is more integrated and connected than ever before. Although movement restrictions brought in during the COVID-19 pandemic limited migration in 2020, Mr. Bravo said the longer-term trend is still showing an increase in the numbers of people leaving their countries of origin to live elsewhere.
As everybody knows, these days, ever since the pandemic started, it was declared back in March 2020, there has been an unprecedented number of restrictions to all kinds of mobility, both internal, including the lockdowns and restrictions of movement within countries, but also very severely also international migration or international population movements. In terms of the impact on migration, in our international migration stock 2020, in our highlights report, we do include an estimate that the pandemic might have reduced the number of international migrants through mid-2020 by around 2 million globally. And this is a slowdown of the growth in the number of migrants between mid-2019 and mid-2020 by around 27%. So quite significant slowdown in the growth of the number of international migrants.
And this is going against the trend that you've seen over the last 20 years. There's been a big growth in migration, hasn't there?
Correct, right. The big, more longer-term trend has been for migration to keep growing and even a bit faster than the total population growth. So we went from 173 million international migrants, as we defined them in our migration stock estimates in the year 2000, to 22 million in 2010. And up to 281 million in 2020, according to the United Nations' latest estimates.
What are the main drivers of this big change?
Right. So, again, it's fairly obvious that the expansion, extension of telecommunications information about places of origin and especially destination has facilitated migration networks, and even the cost of transportation, of travel, has been reduced, as well as transaction costs, meaning the cost of getting installed and finding a job, being able to make a living in the countries of destination. So the vast majority of the people that move internationally do so precisely for employment, education, family, reunification. But there's also been quite a bit of increase in the number of people forcibly displaced from their countries of origin due to conflict, persecution, civil unrest, etc. That's what we call refugees and asylum seekers. That number has gone up as well.
And I suppose it's worth reiterating that whilst most migration is to high-income countries, it's the neighbouring countries of countries in conflict that are hosting, sheltering most refugees and migrants.
Correct. You know, those two points that you just made, and even a third one. The basic one is that most migrants really come from middle-income countries, not a majority of low-income countries. And they tend to migrate to other upper middle income countries and high income countries, as the World Bank defines them.
And what countries are we talking about? What are the main middle income countries from where migrants come?
They range from, for example, Mexico to the US, Asian countries to Western Asia and to Europe. And even some other Latin American countries, people migrating to Europe or to the U.S. as well as a main destination for all of Latin American countries, including Central America, but also South America as well. But you're right also that the bulk of the refugees and asylum seekers fleeing from the Syrian conflict and other parts of the world typically go to the neighboring. And Lebanon, Turkey, Jordan are big recipients of Syrian and Palestinian refugees as well. And in the Latin American context, for example, the large number of Venezuelans that have left in recent years, the latest estimate is that it's a 3.6 million people. Most of those have gone to neighboring countries in Latin America, including Chile, Peru, Colombia, and others.
Was there anything in this report that did surprise you, strike you as out of the ordinary?
I did not expect, for example, such fast continued growth of migration out of Southern Asia and Northern Africa towards Western Asia. That has continued to increase very fast. It's basically people from Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, and other countries in Southern Asia and Central Asia migrating to the GCC countries. This has been going on for a while, but I didn't expect it to continue to grow so fast as we've documented.
And which countries are we talking about when you say the GCC countries?
So these are the oil producing countries of you know, that part of the world, including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates and others of the GCC, the Gulf Cooperation Council countries.
And do we have any reasons why this has happened at a greater rate than you would have thought?
We haven't researched in depth the reasons for it, other than the continued demand for oil and gas around the world and the construction boom that is still going on there. That requires a lot of additional labor, so the demand is there. The migration networks that had, you know, had started to develop years, if not decades ago, have been extended and are facilitated by communication technologies. So all of that could explain, but we haven't done specific research on that question.
And finally, what would you want the main takeaway for people from this report? What do you think are the main areas of concern that need to be addressed?
Well, to understand basically that migration has always been with us, human migration, that, you know, the modern world, the more globalized, integrated global economy makes it in many ways easier, faster, cheaper to move around. There's good reasons from the development perspective that justify and that are basically driving the demand for labor in especially in high income countries, which tend to have slower growth of their working age population. So they do have a deficit there that is filled by the cohorts of young or at least working age migrants coming in from parts of the world that have younger population age structures. So that's good for development, not just of the countries of destination, but also countries of origin, as we all know. That's maybe a big takeaway. Second is what we've already talked about. The vast majority of people migrate to take up job opportunities, education, and family reunification. But also noteworthy is the fast growth of people, population being forcibly displaced across international borders. And it's a big increase of, even faster increase of the refugees and asylum seekers, faster than the total number of migrants internationally. Maybe another takeaway from more the demographic perspective is that almost all of the international migrants are, or almost half of the international migrants are female. There's cross-regional differences, but the bulk, as I said earlier, three-fourths almost of all migrants are in the main working ages, and they contribute economically, as I explained.